This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink, the pink, the pink, the saviour of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case. Mr.
Fleas had sticky... Good morning, everybody. This is Michael McCammon. This is The Medicine Man Show, really. On air here to give a wee talk today about some natural foods and some powerful things you can do with just simple things. So if you want to tune into some simple ideas today, if you're feeling unwell, if you've got a loved one that's not feeling so good, there's some good news coming. So we'll have a listen to a little bit of a song and I'll come back to you. Well, good morning, everyone. So, Medicine Man, we're going to talk about a few things today. I'm just popped into the radio station today and I've got a few things in front of me. What have I got? I've got this beautiful water, this incredibly beautiful water, because I've got my entire house and property now set up that gets purified by carbon filters, by ceramic filters, and reverse osmosis. So for those people that are really into water, they'll understand what I'm talking about. But basically, the carbon filter is like this enormous tank and it filters out huge amounts of toxins. But just to be really sure, under the sink, I've got this reverse osmosis thing, which is basically a fine membrane that only lets molecules of hydrogen and oxygen or H2O get through. So by the time it actually comes out of my tap, it's this incredibly pure water. And what I do then is I add a few minerals into it because it's mineral deficient, of course. It's pure, clean water, but it does need some minerals, and I put some minerals into it. And sometimes I use my own mineral mix, but this time I've put a little bit of aloe vera juice in with my water. And of course, aloe vera is a plant that's easy to grow. You can have it in the kitchen. Just don't try to water it much. It's a lily, but you might as well treat it like a cactus. It doesn't like too much water. And make sure you use cactus mix. And that aloe vera is full of what we call proteolytic enzymes. Now, proteolytic enzymes are the enzymes that break down proteins for you. And the thing about serious illnesses, in fact, just about everything is associated with enzymes, because you're living, your white blood cells, phagocytes, leukocytes, T lymphocytes, etc., they are the ones that are basically a collection of intelligent enzymes, and they're made from proteins. So proteolytic enzymes are really important for cancer treatment. When I say cancer treatment, anyone with cancer, the bottom line is you should be on proteolytic enzymes or enzymes, and that can include things like pepsin and pancreatin and things like that, because with cancer, the immune system, the cancers get a hold because the immune system has not recognized the cancer, because it's disguised itself with a protein coat. So if you're getting lots of proteolytic enzymes, what's going to happen? It's going to expose the coat, the disguise, little raincoat of the criminal hiding behind a raincoat, and that's the protein coat. It dissolves it, and then the immune system then recognizes that particular cell as an aberrant cell and actually attacks it. So, you know, enzymes are very worth a study. So if you want to go and Google enzymes and see how important it is in cancer treatment. Now, where are you going to get your enzymes from? Well, I just mentioned a herbal source, and that's aloe vera. And I just put it with the water, but aloe vera's got some wonderful anti-inflammatory properties. And because water is basically neutral, or this particular water is neutral, I put a bit of aloe vera in, which is slightly bitter. So when I'm drinking the water, it's going to alkalize my system and I'm going to get some proteolytic enzymes. So yeah, I could go on forever about that, but I want to keep this fairly brief. So that's the first thing that's in front of me today that I carried in. But I also popped into the coffee shop and got myself a lovely flat white coffee here, which is sitting from Switch Espresso just across the road here in Manchester Street. They make a lovely coffee, and they've actually got some really healthy stuff there. So we've got that. And what about coffee? Well, coffee's a medicine too, but of course you can have too much good stuff. But every now and again, you've got a coffee does actually have a certain amount of medicinal qualities. And some say that it's good for the prostate and so forth, and it's actually certain ways you can use coffee for your liver, but it doesn't mean to say you go crazy on it. Okay, and the next thing I've got is this naughty organic milk chocolate. Great. Fortunately, I'm no longer allergic to dairy products because of what I've been doing. By using all those proteolytic enzymes, oh, this is a celebration for me today because I did another what we call food detective test, and I finally gotten over my dairy allergy. Isn't that wonderful? So today is a day for celebration. So to celebrate, I went and got myself, again from Switch Express over the road. Remember, no one's paying me to tell you this. It's original milk, organic chocolate from Trade Aid, which is a good place to support. So in front of us, we've got these medicines, haven't we? We've got Charlie's Honest Water here, the bottle, and I've filled it up with pure water and aloe vera. A little bit of coffee, a little bit of sip of that's okay. And the milk chocolate here is just because I can now. So we're talking about simples today, and there's some simple things that I didn't finish a couple of weeks ago about some simple remedies that we can use and you'll find in your household. And if you don't find it in your house, you'll find it in the supermarket. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the benefits of molasses and we talked about some simple things like apple cider vinegar and even baking soda, how that can have remarkable effects. And what we mustn't lose sight of is these common things. And these common things that are actually quite cheap, they can actually have quite profound effects. At one time, I talked about lemons too, what they can do if you know how to use them. But we'll talk a little bit about nutritional yeast. So it's a very unique and rich source of many nutrients, but it must be nutritional yeast, right? And you can get that from your health food shop. And I went and popped and got some yesterday from Liberty Market. They've got good supplies of nutritional yeast. They've even got one that you just shake on your food. But nutritional yeast is great to put in any soups and broths that you might have going because it's absolutely loaded with an incredible number of nutrients, including your B vitamins. It's got amino acids. Now, remember, the amino acids are the things that your body uses to make proteins. And remember that your immune cells are made of intelligent proteins and amino acids and enzymes. But nutritional yeast, to be very specific, has actually got around 14 minerals and 17 vitamins. That's a heck of a lot of nutrients. But it doesn't have your vitamin A, it doesn't have vitamin C, and it doesn't have vitamin E, but it does contain phosphorus, which is a brain nutrient. It's got chromium, which is tied in with diabetes, and a lot more than that. So it is a bit of a myth that it does contain B12, but the vitamin's often added in nutritional yeast. But you can actually get B12 if you're a vegetarian from molasses. And if you're not a vegetarian, you can get a good source of B12 from your pâtés and your bone broths, okay, because liver is loaded with it. According to a number of experts, nutritional yeast is actually safe to eat. But in Germany, it's actually the fourth most prescribed preparation by naturopaths because it's got some antiviral and antibacterial properties. So this is a very interesting thing about nutritional yeast. And it's one of the things that I learned about way back in the 70s, how important brewer's yeast. We used to use brewer's yeast for those B vitamins. And the B vitamins, of course, are vitamins for your nervous system and your digestion. And a tremendous number of people are low in B vitamins. But remember that I also gave a talk about minerals and even the B vitamins you won't be able to use correctly unless you've got all the minerals present. So here's the wonderful thing that you you can use the nutritional yeast because you're getting minerals and vitamins at the same time. And some people worry about the yeast because, you know, if they get candida or thrush, that you should stay away from yeast, but that isn't always necessarily true. When you use nutritional yeast, it actually can help to fight candida infection through the minerals and the vitamin content. So it's not necessarily contraindicated when you have yeast problems, but it's really great for acne. So if anyone's out there got acne, you can actually just get some hot water and put a teaspoon, heap teaspoon of nutritional yeast in hot water and just drink that every morning. Great to put some molasses in there too and a little bit of apple cider vinegar and you have a brew that's just phenomenal. It's worth any amount of vitamin tablets, you know, or fancy things that, you know, they claim is going to cure this and that. It's those simple things can go a long way. They may not cure, but they can certainly go a long way to help you. So it's great for chronic acne. If you've got acne problems, get those vitamin Bs in there. Get the chromium in there, and I'm pretty sure it's got some zinc in there as well, which helps to heal the skin. But if you're suffering or you've got some kids that just don't want to eat, just sneak a little bit of yeast into a hot drink there, and it's actually quite tasty, but you can find any other ways to make it tasty. You can put it in with tomato soup or any good soup that they like. Any drink that they like, possibly orange juice, though not too much orange juice because of sugar content. But the nutritional yeast is great if they've got diminished appetite. But it's wonderful also because what it's not only doing that, giving them a great appetite for good stuff, it actually helps the immune system. So one would think then that nutritional yeast would be fantastic for athletes, and that's absolutely the truth. So many runners find that they can actually get a high quality extra energy by using nutritional yeast as part of their program, building up to being fit for the race. So how is yeast made? Well, when you get nutritional yeast as against brewer's yeast, okay, and make sure, again, it's nutritional yeast, read the packet, it's often grown in a big vat of molasses. Now, we've talked about how good molasses is, so if we grow yeast on it, wow. So it's grown in a big vat of molasses, nutrients and water, so once it's mature, it's put into a conveyor belt, it's dried, and it's broken down into flakes, powder, or granules. And one of the key differences between brewer's yeast and nutritional yeast is the flavour too. The former is very bitter. Brewer's yeast is quite bitter, and generally you can only take that in supplemental form, but I don't tend to prescribe or recommend brewer's yeast. It's nutritional yeast, which is, you know, actually very tasty and can add flavour to many of your foods. And as I say, it's just wonderful that I've discovered how it makes a bone broth go so much further, and it just really brings in that flavour. So if your soup is a little bit insipid, you just put a whole heaping teaspoon, you know, of brewer's yeast, or if you've got a big, you know, bone broth, you know, the goodness in that bone broth when it's got all the calcium and all those organic minerals that actually help to alkalize, and it's got mineral activators, it's got your gelatin, and then you put a huge couple of tablespoons or whatever, if you've got a liter or two of your bone broth going, you put that the nutritional yeast in there, and you can actually find it in most health food shops. So it's so simple to get, and it's not that expensive. But of course, when you're using nutritional yeast, you will pay a little bit more for it, but it's really, really worth it. So what can you do with it? Okay, soups, curries, stews, you can actually help to thicken it. It'll add flavor. You can put it in smoothies. You can put it in vegetable dishes. If you've got steamed zucchinis or whatever, you've got kale, green beans, peas, carrots, you can put it in a salad. You can even sprinkle yeast if you're doing popcorn, and it's delicious. So if you're new to get nutritional yeast, you know, you want to get a feel for its flavor, you know, there are different things you can do for it. So I won't give you a few recipes because it's you'd have to write them all down and you probably haven't got a pen. So the reason this talk is here at the moment, because I do see some vegetarians, quite a few vegetarians that come to my clinic for various health problems, and they can get some fairly devastating health problems if they're not knowing enough about how to be a vegetarian, or even worse, how to be a vegan. I'm certainly not against it, and was a vegan myself for 5 years, a raw food vegan. But when I discovered that I was a blood group O, I wondered why I wasn't putting on enough protein. And so once I started to use bone broth and so forth, started to build up some muscle. So if you're a blood group O and you're vegetarian, you've got to be super duper careful. If you're a blood group A and you're vegetarian, well, you don't have to be quite so careful, because you generally, the vegetarian diet actually suits you very well. If you're AB, well, you're a total mystery to me, because it varies such a lot, okay? But nutritional yeast, think about it. It's a simple thing, and if you're a vegetarian, but even if you're not a vegetarian, it's just great for flavouring and bringing all those nutrients in. So another talk I gave, I mentioned a little bit about chlorophyll, how this magic molecule basically is sunlight, trapped sunlight. So what happens, it's the dust of the earth, and the pure sunlight energy has been captured in this incredible mechanism called photosynthesis, where the first plants, the first living things on earth, blue-green algae, managed to turn sunlight into pure energy. And that's pretty special. So chlorophyll is a good thing if you're unwell, and particularly people with cancer. The most important thing you can have in your kitchen, and I'm really serious about this, can make a huge difference. And I'm not saying any of these things cure, but I am saying it can make a huge difference to lead the way for further things to do to actually beat this thing. And the first thing you buy and have in your kitchen is a juice extractor. So you can put your green veggies in there as well as your carrots, your green, your red, and your coloured vegetables, but make sure you get plenty of chlorophyll, because it increases the production of red blood cells. And what are red blood cells do? They're the ones that bring oxygen to every single cell in the body, and you've got to have lots of frisky red blood cells. So chlorophyll, it's a pigment that absorbs sunlight, right? And it helps plants to make their own food as well as give them the green color. So the photosynthesis is the process, remember, where green plants and vegetables absorb light from the sun and they transform it along with the dust of the earth, which are your minerals, and water and carbon dioxide, and they make it into food to help them grow. But it goes without saying that this is a very important process, vital not just to the plants, but to us and the animal kingdom as well. So oxygen, the chemical element that living organisms, we require that to breathe, is actually happens to be a byproduct of the food making process for the plant. And isn't that handy that they give out oxygen for us and we give out carbon dioxide for the plant? So at the heart of photosynthesis is the chlorophyll molecule. It's a pigment that absorbs blue and sometimes red portions of the electromagnetic spectrum from the sun, and it becomes green. That's because it absorbs every other color except green, and it reflects the green. You see, that's why we see plants and they're green. We have this beautiful blue-green planet, the only one we've found that's blue-green so far, and it's got this living water and life. So this results in plants getting their distinctive color, right? So the chlorophyll absorbs the light. It creates carbohydrates that serve as the plant's nourishment. But there's another interesting thing about the chlorophyll. It has huge health benefits for us, particularly if you have it raw as juices. And as long as you consume vegetables, I'm not saying you cook vegetables too, but the chlorophyll helps with huge number of aspects, like it helps control hunger, but it does a lot more than that, because when you're using the fresh juices, you've got those living enzymes again, and those living enzymes are absolutely remarkable. So if you have a person or a friend or for those practitioners out there, a patient who's extremely unwell and is maybe even given only days or weeks to live, is 3 days on juices and broths, and see if that turns them around. In other words, you're actually nourishing the system, because when you're that sick, you can't do too much cleansing, right? But the good thing about the juices and the chlorophyll is it not only cleanses, but it's nourishing at the same time, and that's the trick. So a good thing to do is simply for 3 days, don't eat anything, just juices and broths, the liquid, right? So if you're making the broth, you don't have the pieces of meat in it. You actually put a sieve in it and you drink the liquid for those 3 days, just enough time to actually get some recuperation, and then you can build on to the next stage and so forth. Because as I've told a number of my patients, and particularly ones that are very ill, there's actually 4 stages to healing. And there's certain things that we do at each stage that take you up to where you want to go. So where do you get the best natural sources of chlorophyll? Well, the green vegetables have some chlorophyll, but you can gain potential benefits if you eat these vegetables regularly. But there's several sources that contain more chlorophyll than others. So if you want to maximize, let's think about some really amazing things loaded with chlorophyll. And if you've got your magic bullet, or you've got a really good juice extractor, and guess what? If you're a bit short of cash, you just go to you can get them secondhand, because what happens is that people get really enthusiastic about the juice extract and they get it and they can't be bothered cleaning it all the time. Well, you just got to get over that. And of course, the modern juices, it's so easy to clean anyway, but you have to clean them after each use, and you got to put them back in the dishwasher and wash it. And it's just one of those daily routines that you do, just like cleaning your teeth. Okay, but you can get juice extractors very, very cheaply, because some people, they're just sitting under the bench. You probably have one yourself under the bench. And if it's still in working order, I suggest you get it out, you know, especially if you're unwell. So the richest source of chlorophyll through your juicer, spinach, good old spinach. Great to grow your own, because it's so easy to grow, or just buy from the supermarket. It's still got chlorophyll. Wheatgrass, that takes a little bit of doing. We can do a session at some stage on how to do your own wheatgrass juice. But I have to say, of all the higher sources of chlorophyll, wheatgrass juice is absolutely supremo. I've had some remarkable effects with wheatgrass juice. Miracles, really. Green peppers are good. Capsicums, mustard greens. Even lettuce. The good thing about lettuce juice is if you have it at night, what you'll find is you'll sleep better, because it contains an opioid, a sort of a something similar to opioid, to be really clear. And the other one is parsley, loaded with it. So you stick a bit of parsley in, not too much, because parsley can be a bit fierce on your kidneys. And Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and olives. So that's a little collection of incredibly powerful chlorophyll cleansing chlorophyll. To make your eyes sparkle and get you all those red blood cells moving along. So surely in any illness, or even when you're feeling the best you've ever felt, to actually have a chlorophyll drink every day makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And then, of course, you can bring in other things that are what I would call true medicines, and that when it comes to herbal medicine. So you can put extra things in there, like a little bit of tincture of echinacea. But don't forget those simples again. You've got molasses, you've got brewer's yeast, and you've got lemons, you've got onions. You've got all these wonderful medicines all around you. So you don't have to rely too much on other things. But it's unfortunately, with what's happening now, is that we're incredibly mineral deficient. So we do need supplements at least for the first 90 days if you want to get well. And the supplements are really important, but we mustn't forget the simples too, to bring in that nutritional, nutrient-dense stuff and the chlorophyll molecule, the magic of chlorophyll. So you might as well say this talk is a lot about the magic of chlorophyll, and in particular, brewer's yeast, a simple that goes a long way. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you find at least one thing today that's been useful for your life, and we'll have something good for you again next week. This is Mike McCammon, the Medicine Man, on Plains FM. Been great to talk to you this morning. Have a great day, and we'll catch up next week.